Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey has served in Congress for more than four decades. But one Brookline labor lawyer says this term should be his last. Attorney Shannon Liss Reardon, currently a partner at Licton and Liss Reardon, announced that she will challenge Markey in the Democratic primary next year. Liss Reardon has spent the past two decades fighting for workers' rights and challenging companies including Uber, Starbucks, and American Airlines. And she joins me now. Shannon Liss Reardon, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, I do want to note here that Radio Boston reached out to Senator Markey because we'd like to hear from him as well, but his office said he was not available to join us this week because of hearings and votes. So, Shannon, if I may, you've said in other interviews that your run is about challenging the status quo and the rich and powerful. And I want to ask you about Senator Markey's record, because he's positioned himself as a real proponent for progressive causes, most recently with the Green New Deal, and also through the years, net neutrality, reproductive rights, and he's aligned himself with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So is Ed Markey the status quo, and what do you take issue with his record?
Well, I'm doing this run because I think the voters of Massachusetts deserve a choice, and I would offer a fresh perspective. My work as a workers' rights lawyer for the last 20 years, I've been fighting these battles in the trenches, going up against corporations, big entrenched interests, and I've taken on bold challenges, and I've won. And I think that gives me a perspective that is needed right now in Washington. I'm also coming in, obviously, as a woman. I'm a mother. I'm an outsider. And I think that this is a different perspective that we need right now. I think voters are hungry for that kind of choice.
So, you know, Markey was asked about your challenge on Monday, and he said that he won't let the fact that he has a challenger change the things that he cares about, saying, quote, "These are the issues I've been fighting for throughout my entire career, and I'm going to continue to fight for them." So are there specific policy issues and differences between you and Senator Markey?
Well, it's really a question of focus. Being a workers' rights lawyer for these last 20 years, my core issues and my core expertise obviously is the workplace. I've been fighting for working people. I've been seeing how corporations day by day in the courts are using their power to rig the system and fuel their profits off the backs of working people. And I think that that has led to growing income inequality in our society, which is reaching maddening levels. And I'm very concerned that if we don't change course soon and stop that, so many issues that are facing us in our society today, access to health care, education, housing, the opioid crisis, are only going to get worse. So I'm out there to try to engage people who may not have felt part of the political process before, who may have felt left out, who may have felt that politics, and particularly Washington politics, doesn't really speak to them. I'm talking to people. I've been talking to people for these last weeks. I'm really looking forward to crisscrossing the Commonwealth and having more of these discussions and getting more people involved, young people, women, people of color, people who have been left out of the process. This is our campaign.
So I want to get to your career and experience in just a second, but I do want to put maybe a finer point on this. Is this about his length of time in Washington? He's been there since 1976. And his age. Is this what this is about?
No, absolutely not. I am offering a fresh perspective for the voters of Massachusetts. And
I hear fresh perspective, I think younger, new.
I've been fighting age discrimination in the courts. In fact, one of my recent battles that I've taken on is I've gone up against IBM, which has been systematically shedding illegally older employees in order to build a younger workforce. So I fight age discrimination in my work. I've been fighting for workers' wages. I've been fighting against misclassification. I've been fighting to get fair benefits and pay for workers and for women. And I fight all forms of discrimination. That is the work that I've been doing as a labor lawyer for 20 years.
And at the same time, though, the Democratic Party has been dealing with, you know, maybe a challenge or some you might call an establishment problem. We saw Seth Moulton go up against Speaker Pelosi and asking for new leadership in the House. He lost that battle. But you know, there are new voices like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez challenging the speaker as well. Do you think your party is neglecting new voices?
I think that the system in Washington is broken. Why I want to go to Washington is that I think we need new perspectives and new voices to try to fix that. And I was incredibly energized by what happened during the midterm elections, watching the election of outsiders, women, come in and win. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ayanna Pressley, they ran truly inspiring campaigns and did what I'm hoping to do, which is bring people into the process, bring these new perspectives in, and have this be a people's campaign, because that's what Washington politics should be, and it hasn't been.
So you mentioned Representative Ayanna Pressley. Of course, she mounted a successful campaign against a long-term incumbent, Michael Capuano. But Pressley had local political experience. She'd served on Boston City Council since 2010. She built up a base of political support within her district. You're not a career politician. And of course, we've seen in the past years that non-career politicians can win all the way up to the White House. But you've never held higher office. So do you think that puts you at a disadvantage?
I think this is what the voters of Massachusetts want and need. I'm coming in as an outsider. I've not run for office before. I have not worked in D.C. I'm not a seasoned politician. I have real-world experience for the last 20 years battling major corporations and taking on big, bold challenges. What people say about me is that in my work as a lawyer, I've really been an activist lawyer. I haven't just taken on cases. I've taken on industries. I've taken on issues. I've been passionate about what I believe in, and my work has, and what my firm has done, we've really reshaped industries through our work. I started doing work particularly on behalf of workers in the hospitality industry, servers, hotel workers, baristas who were being deprived of their tips. Their bosses were taking their tips. Won some big trials. We beat Starbucks, which was using baristas' tip money to pay supervisors. After we beat them, the baristas got to keep all of their tips. They got millions of dollars back, and then the supervisors got a nearly $3 an hour raise. We fought for the sky caps at Logan Airport, took on American Airlines, which was taking tips from some of its lowest paid employees when they put a big sign up at the airport saying $2 per bag for curbside check-in, and all the passengers thought they were still paying the money to the sky caps, but it turns out it was going into the coffers of American Airlines. We took that on. We won and got American Airlines to change their policy in Massachusetts and across the country, and then the other airlines as well. Well, what I've been doing in my career is taking on these big, bold challenges and winning, and I think that's the kind of experience and the kind of can-do that I want to bring to Washington.
So you mentioned Starbucks and American Airlines. You didn't mention Uber there, but tell us about your work with Uber.
Sure. So in the last few years, a lot of my time has been occupied by taking on so-called gig economy companies, which have been trying to rewrite the rules of the workplace in a way that I find pretty frightening. This isn't anything new. This is what I've been battling really for the last 15 years in a number of industries, the cleaning industry, trucking industry, the adult entertainment industry, call center industry. The gig economy is just the latest iteration of this, where you've got all of these companies that are now trying to build a workforce where none of their workers are actually employees, which means that the companies are able to save massively on labor costs and thereby sidestep all their obligations as employers. And when that happens, workers miss out. They don't get the protections of employment laws and labor laws and even the guarantee of basic minimum wage. And then the companies shift all of their expenses and the risks to the workers. And it's not just the workers that miss out. It's companies that are trying to do the right thing, that are trying to comply with the law, are getting undercut by companies that are trying to shirk their obligations. And state and federal governments miss out on tax revenues when we let companies shirk their responsibilities. So I really see letting companies get away with this being a form of corporate welfare. And we need to put an end to this, or else we're not going to have I really worry we're not going to have employment as we know it in this country in the coming decades unless we make a change now. And that's a big part of why I want to go to Washington.
And you won a case against Uber, and it maybe wasn't as big or significant as the case might have seemed in 2016. There was supposed to be a $100 million settlement that the judge at the time actually thought you were leaving money on the table. And in response to that, you reduced your fee by $10 million. And eventually the settlement ended up being for $20 million. And the scope of the case had been reduced from 385,000 drivers to 13,500 drivers. Do I have all that right?
Yeah, that's right. So what happened?
That's a lot of numbers.
That was a lot of numbers,
but
yeah.
But what my, So my question here, though, is, you know, you're champion for workers. You've made that very clear here. But you've also faced some criticism for your fees. And in this particular case, could you tell us what you made off of the Uber case?
Well, so I'm really proud of my work for the Uber case. The settlement that we had a few years ago, which I championed, and I agreed to cut my fee significantly because I was trying to save that settlement. And yet the court didn't approve it. But then what happened after that was what I had predicted unfortunately happened, which is that the case went up to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals reversed the great decisions we had gotten below. And then the case got reduced from, like you said, several hundred thousand drivers to 13,000 drivers. So unfortunately, we picked up the pieces and we did what we could. I'm proud of that work. I'm proud of the work that we do representing workers who can't afford legal representation. So that's what I've been doing for my whole career. I'm very proud we get paid to do that work, which allows us to represent workers who can't afford to go out and hire a lawyer.
But no number figure on that. No, okay. No, I do want to ask one more question about money, which is that Senator Markey's office says they have about $3.5 million in cash for this race. How do you plan on competing with that?
Well, obviously I'm coming in as an outsider. I'm not an incumbent. So fundraising is going to be something that you don't need more money. You need to get the message out. So I'm going to be traveling around the Commonwealth. I'm going to be talking with people. I'm going to be asking people to give at whatever level they can, because that's what this campaign is about, is getting people engaged. And I'm going to be speaking to working people across Massachusetts, and I'm going to ask them to support at whatever level they can.
All right. So one last question. What's your final pitch to Democratic primary voters? Just in a couple seconds here.
I'm just so excited to be out there. And I really feel that in addition to the workers' rights and my outsider stance, I really think we need more women in Congress. We need more women in the Senate. I've been fighting for women's rights through my whole career, back to my college days. And after college, I founded a young women's movement called the Third Wave to engage women and people of color in the political process. So I'm really coming full circle on my career now. And this campaign is taking me back to my activist days. And I'm very excited about it because there's so much work we have to do in this country. And there are so many things that have been happening these last few years that called me back into action. So I'm very excited to be out there and looking forward to talking with people of Massachusetts over the next 18 months.
That's Shannon Liss Reardon. She's a partner at Licton and Liss Reardon Law Firm, and she's running for U.S. Senate. Shannon, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Jamie Bologna, and this is Radio Boston.